Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Career Confidence Podcast with myself, Georgie Hubbard. I hope that you are having an amazing week so far and you're feeling ready for today's episode. Now, I actually did a blog on this very topic and it got a really, really good response. So I thought, do you know what? I'm going to go into a bit more detail around this topic today, share a few things that I'm really passionate about, a few things that I personally do in my life that have really helped me. And I really hope that you get a lot from today's episode. So I'm going to be talking about five wellness practices that have personally helped me overcome anxiety, manage stress, sleep better, feel more energized, feel more productive in my day. And look, over the years, I have tried a lot of things. I think that there's a lot of information out there. I think it can almost be a little bit like information overload of all of the protocols and all the things that we should be doing, we shouldn't be doing. And actually what I've come to realize is that it doesn't need to be so complicated. And actually, it is the most basic practices, the most basic habits that I've integrated into my own life that have made the most impact. And I really, really hope that even if you pick one of these practices, that you notice the benefit from doing it. But before I go into the practices today, the first thing that I just want to touch upon is how it's hard to get going at the start. Like whenever we're trying to create a new habit or try something new, it can be challenging. It can be really tough to take the first step and just to start doing it. But once you're kind of more into that rhythm, it does become easier. And then you might see some results and then your motivation might dip. You go, I don't need to do this as much anymore. I'm seeing results. But it's when that moment hits, you just got to keep going because the other side of that is creating really good habits that are going to set you up, not just in your life, but in your career and your family. It impacts everything. So I really hope that you get a lot from this episode. But just to sort of, I guess, set the scene for you, I've always been somebody in terms of like that, this whole wellness piece has always, I guess, had the physical piece of it quite dialed in. Like I was very, very fortunate that I grew up in a very active family. You know, my mum and dad were always doing something, whether it was going to the gym or mum was going off to Pilates. We had a very hyperactive dog. So the dog needed to be walked twice a day. We went on walking holidays. Like we were very fit and active as a family. So the physical piece has been something, I guess, that ever since I can remember has just become part of who I am. Like I just enjoy moving. I enjoy eating, you know, whole foods, healthy foods that I know are going to give me energy. That, I guess, has been imprinted on me from a very young age, which I know it hasn't been imprinted on every single person. For example, my husband, he hasn't grown up in a very active and healthy family, and he has struggled a lot more to get himself into this sort of routine and habit of, you know, exercising most days and eating really healthy. So if you're sat there right now and you aren't somebody that has got any of these habits dialed in, you're not doing any of them, just pick one. Don't feel overwhelmed by what I'm about to say, because again, I think it all comes back to what I just said at the start. Like there's a lot of information out there and I don't want you to sort of feel overwhelmed. And because I also think that that can become quite toxic as well. And when I've had wellness as like a tick the box exercise, have I meditated? Have I worked out? Have I journaled? Have I done this? Have I had my sauna? All of a sudden I'm feeling stressed because I've got this long list of wellness practices to tick off. So I guess what I'm saying is that the physical piece has always come quite naturally to me because it was something that I have always done ever since I was a kid. And I'm very grateful for my parents for, I guess, that the introduction into movement and what it can do. But yeah, so just when you're embarking on any change or any new habit, whether it's a health habit, anything, just remember it's not going to be easy to take the first step. it's going to be hard and it might suck and you might just go, oh, what am I doing this for? But you will along the way notice the changes. And when you notice those changes, that's when you got to keep going. That's when you got to go, okay, I'm committing to this now, because consistency is absolutely key with all of these 5 points that I'm about to share with you. So the other thing I just want to say as well before I dive in is that, so as I said, the physical piece was always something that was dialed in for me. But the mental and the emotional piece and even the spiritual piece has been a real journey for me. So when I hit 24, 25, I started to experience pretty severe anxiety. And it wasn't something I'd ever experienced. It wasn't something that I'd ever been told about, learned about. And it suddenly just sort of hit me like a tidal wave. And I remember being at work and being at my computer, and I just all of a sudden I couldn't catch my breath. And to be honest, I actually thought I was having a heart attack, and I'm not even over exaggerating. My heart was absolutely pounding. I was sweating. I was like, what the hell is happening to me? So I actually just left the office trying not to make a scene, which, you know, again, is just not the ideal, right? But I was working in a sales environment. Everyone's on the phone. Everyone was just, you know, not really paying attention to me. Walked out of the office, went down in the lift, and I went into the pharmacy that was downstairs. And I explained to the pharmacist like what was happening, and she gave me some calms, some like these chewy remedy things. And she said to me, you know, it sounds to me like you're having a panic attack. I was like, what the hell's a panic attack? Anyway, so it was this 3-year journey of on and off panic attacks, the spiral of anxiety, the negative thoughts, the a lot of things that I had to work through. I got a lot of help during that time. I did see a therapist to really sort of talk through a few things that were coming up. I even had hypnotherapy, and it all really, really helped. The thing that I realized pretty quickly when I was going through all of this and I was seeking professional help, which I advise anyone to do if they're going through anything stressful or anything challenging in their life, is that I only get to see this person for once a week. What am I doing for the rest of the time? How am I thinking? How am I feeling? What am I actually doing to keep on getting healthier and becoming well and to find more peace in my life? And that's the bit that I knew I had to take full responsibility for. And this is kind of where I started leaning in more to these wellness practices I'm going to talk about. So therapy, hypnotherapy, everything, all professional care has its place. I am not saying that it doesn't, because it does, and it definitely did help me. But I also know that had I not taken my own practices just as seriously as I was taking my therapy sessions, I would not have overcome my anxiety. So if you're seeing a therapist right now, I really think this will also help you. And hopefully one or two of these practices, just something you can incorporate into your life. And I really hope that it helps you overcome whatever you're going through, or at least, you know, sort of helps you on the sort of the right path. But at the top of my wellness practice list, the things that really made a huge impact on my life. And you're not going to hear anything groundbreaking today, right? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, this one thing changed my life and, you know, you've not heard it before. These are all things that we know, right? I'm not here to rewrite the script and tell you something profound. I'm telling you things that you've probably already heard about, you probably already know about, but maybe for whatever reason you're not doing. And I think sometimes when it comes to podcasts like this, it's just the reminder that you need. It's the push that you need. It's the story that you go, oh, well, if it worked for Georgie, hopefully it might sort of help me in some way. But what I also don't want you to do as well is wait until there is a crisis in your life before you start implementing these practices. These practices can be used right now in your life, whether you are the happiest person in the world or you're the most miserable. You're all going to benefit from these practices. Trust me on that. And hopefully you're not going through a crisis at the minute. Hopefully you're not anxious and depressed. But if you are, I do think these practices could help you. And if you're not, I still would really recommend these practices because I'm not anxious or depressed in my daily life. And I still do these every single day because they have helped me so much. And I also know that when I don't do them, I don't feel as good as when I have done them. So at the top of my list is meditation. Now, you might be, oh God, meditation. I've tried to meditate, Georgie. I can't sit still for longer than a few minutes. My mind races and I just want to get up and I haven't got time to meditate. Yeah, trust me, I've heard it all before and I have said it all before as well. I remember the first time I sat down to meditate, my mind was going a million miles an hour and I was just like, well, this is just not going to work for me. But what was interesting is that I didn't turn off the music. I didn't turn off the guided meditation I was listening to at the time. What I became very aware of was my thoughts. And for the first time in quite a while, I actually sat there and listened to my thoughts. And wow, there was a lot of thoughts. There was a lot of noise. And what I've come to learn about meditation is that one, there's no such thing as a bad meditation. And two, it's not about quieting the mind. It's about becoming familiar with the mind. It's about becoming familiar with yourself. The thoughts you think, your patterns, you know, what is actually going on inside of you? Because I have a belief that our thoughts do have something to do with our destiny, because our thoughts can trigger an emotion and our emotions can make us feel a certain way. And when we are in a lower state, a lower sort of vibrational emotion, we're not as motivated. We don't take action. We make mistakes. We can be sharp and short with people. And your thoughts can lead to that emotion. So the more aware we can become of our thoughts, the better our lives will be. And I truly believe that because it has made a huge difference in my life. So meditation has been a journey for me now. I've been meditating now for almost 10 years. And the impact it's had on my life, I couldn't even really put into words. And I start every single day with at least a 15-minute meditation, usually about a 20 to 30-minute meditation. Now, if I appreciate that not everybody can do that. I appreciate that some people have got kids, some people have got very busy lives, but I think everyone can find 10 minutes in their day to sit with themselves. And if you can't find 10 minutes, then maybe it's time to evaluate your life. But most of us, in fact, no, all of us can find 10 minutes to sit in silence with our thoughts. And things might come up that you go, wow, I didn't know that I was still holding on to that. Or, oh God, you know, I need to let that go. And yeah, you're going to have other thoughts like the laundry needs to get done and what's going to be in the kids' packed lunch. Like all these thoughts are going to come up, but it's just witnessing them. And then it's coming back to your breath. It's having an anchor point. So for me, I always like to choose my breath. So I'm just focusing on the in-breath, the out-breath, slowing down the breathing, becoming more present. And also so much science and research now shows that it actually does help to reduce anxiety. Just focusing on the breath, slowing down the breath, because what happens when we get anxious? Our breathing becomes short and shallow and fast. So you want to turn off that fight or flight response. You want to calm the mind, calm the body, and just sit with yourself. And for the first few times that you do it, for the first 10 times, 100 times, it might be really uncomfortable. But now, 30 minutes, it's like time doesn't exist for me when I'm meditating. The visualizations that I get when I'm in a meditative state, I think about who I want to be, how I want my day to be. I visualize my future self. I visualize where I want to go. So there's so many different meditations out there, but just to start with, I honestly recommend just downloading an app like Headspace. That's how I started, and just do a nice guided meditation. That's it. If that's where you start, trust me, you will get so many benefits from it, but please stick with it. So meditation for me has been a huge one. And if I feel like my life is, you know, getting a bit full and my mind's getting busy and I'm noticing that I'm falling into a couple of maybe not great habits again, or, you know, I'm being a bit short or sharp or whatever's going on in my life, I will turn to meditation even more. And I might even meditate in the evening as well and really reflect on who I've been that day. What am I proud of? What can I do better? But it's just such a powerful tool. And there's so many ways to meditate. There's no right or wrong way to meditate. But ultimately for me, It's just sitting with yourself, being present. And when you're present, you can become more aware of your thoughts. And then once you're more aware of your thoughts, you can start challenging those negative thoughts, because a lot of these thoughts are unconscious. They're just, there's a tape running in the background constantly. And if we become aware of them, we have the power to change them. So meditation for me has been huge. And I just cannot stress it enough how much of a positive impact it's had on my life. And, you know, I think with all the mental health issues going on in our society right now, I do honestly think that if people could just learn to sit with themselves and to slow down the mind and to focus on their breath, we would definitely see a bit of a shift in the world. That's just my personal opinion, but meditation for me is at the absolute top. The second one on my wellness list, again, not rewriting history here, not telling you anything that you probably don't know already, but nutrition, right? Like, I know when I have eaten some maybe heavier foods and just, you know, maybe not nutrition dense foods that are higher in sugar, higher in saturated fat. And that's fine to do, right? Because the one thing that I also want to say here is that I don't like it when people label a food as bad. And I also hate the word diet. Anytime anyone I love or know goes on a diet, I can tell you within a matter of days or weeks, the diet is done. Right? No diet in my mind works. Okay. It's not a diet that we need. It's a lifestyle. And nutrition, again, we complicate it, but it's very, very basic, right? You want to eat foods that are whole foods, close to the source, foods that haven't been ground down, processed, farmed, like it comes out of a factory in a plastic box. Like, again, look at what our ancestors used to eat. Like, the obesity rate in the world is going absolutely crazy. Like, I don't know what the numbers are at the minute, but I do think it's a very, very high percentage of the world is obese. And I also have actually a lot of empathy for people, because I don't think the world is set up to make people fail, right? Like, you think about it, you go around the supermarket and you might be like, yes, I'm doing really well today. Look at my trolley. Like, I always go straight to the veg aisle first and foremost. That's always the base of all of my meals. I make sure that every single meal, apart from breakfast, where I'll have some oats and whatever, but dinner and lunch there'll be some greens in there. There'll be some salad, then there'll be some vegetables, right? That is where I start. That's where the plate starts. It's actually centered around the vegetables. That's where the nutrition is. Then I'll go into sort of more the protein aisle. So I don't eat meat. That's a choice. But again, meat, if you want to eat meat, you absolutely go for it. I am not anti anyone here. I just think, you know, you do you. It's been a personal choice for me because I love animals, but used to eat meat actually for 30 years, which is why I have zero judgment for anyone who wants to eat meat. And I do think meat actually has a lot of good benefits as well. So it's a personal choice. It's all to do with animals. But anyway, don't eat meat, but I do eat fish. I do eat eggs. I do eat yogurt. So I just choose not to eat meat. So I go to the protein aisle next. So I'll grab some salmon, oily fish, some barramundi, some tuna. You know, so I center a lot of my week around sort of some good sources of protein, some eggs, some tofu, some tempeh, some falafels. So that's the next thing that I buy. Then it's organic whole grain oats for breakfast, or some muesli and some high protein yogurt, a scoop of protein normally in there as well, tons of berries, tons of fruit. But if you looked in my supermarket trolley, you would not see a lot of processed foods. You would see a lot of whole grains, vegetables, good sources of protein, fiber, lentils, beans. Like, you just need to look at people's trolleys to understand where people are going wrong, right? But again, coming back to what I said, having strong empathy, the world, like I said, is not set up to make people succeed, right? Because even if you get to the end of the supermarket shop, what's at the counter? Chocolate bars, crisps, and they're all a dollar, right? And it's almost like we've kind of been so good. We're like, yes, I'm doing really well. I haven't gone down the crisp aisle. I haven't gone down the chocolate aisle. We get to the end and there's a Mars bar for a dollar, right? And it's really tempting to buy the Mars bar. So a lot of people do. So I have so much empathy for it. But again, coming back to nutrition and wellness and everything else, right? I know that when I've had high sugar, too many processed carbohydrates, too much saturated fat, I don't feel as good. I don't sleep as well. I don't have as much energy, or I have a spike of energy and then a crash of energy. So I just know it works for me. And I keep my food in the week pretty simple. Like I said, where's my protein coming from? Where's my vegetables coming from? Where are my whole grains coming from? Where's my healthy source of fat coming from? That's kind of how I look at nutrition. It's energy for my body. I can't remember the last time I was sick. I can't remember the last time I, you know, crashed out at 3 o'clock because I was exhausted. And I know that's got a lot to do with the food that I put into my body, right? We have got one body. Let's look after it. So that's been a huge wellness practice for me. And, you know, I used to literally just, when I was going through all my anxiety, it was a case of quickly grab a big baguette for lunch with a coffee, probably have 4 coffees a day. Like, again, it's like, we need to look at these things, right? If you're sat there right now and you're not feeling good, you're not feeling energized, you're not feeling healthy, you're constantly sick, like, what are you eating? What are you consuming? Like, it's true. We are what we eat. So these are all things to think about. But again, coming back to the basics, don't complicate it. Whole foods, that is the key, right? But again, I'm not a nutritionist and I'm not here to lecture anybody about their food and everything. All I'm saying is that don't overcomplicate things and create a lifestyle around it, you know, and don't think that that's bad, I can't have that. Because as soon as you say I can't have something, what do you want? You want it more. So nutrition has been a huge one for me when it comes to managing my energy, when it comes to wellness, when it comes to overall health and well-being. So if you're sat there right now and you're thinking, do you know what, maybe I could eat a few more vegetables in my week, or I could swap out one thing for another thing, just maybe something to look into. But again, nutrition is very, very personal. Everybody has got their own thoughts around it. So I will leave it there. The third piece when it comes to wellness activities, I said at the beginning, but it is just movement. Every single day, whether it's going for a walk, going for a bike ride, going to the gym, just I move. I do some form of movement every single day. Why? Because it releases endorphins. I feel amazing. I feel like I've accomplished something. I personally like to do my movement in the morning. It's just when I want to just get up and get going, and I feel so energized afterwards. And again, like anything, when it's brand new, whether it's going for a walk, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's going for a bike ride, it's going to take some time to get into these habits. But once you're in it, once you honestly move, you are going to feel so good. Trust me on that. Like, yeah, you might ache in the beginning, but the benefits of exercise, of movement, is so profound. And I just think we live in a society, again, that is just setting us up to fail. Like, we just simply do not move enough. We sit at our desk all day. We sit in front of a sofa. We sit in our car. We sit on the train. And, you know, all the research is coming out now that sitting is just as bad as smoking, right? So we need to move more. Like, it releases energy. Like I said, it releases endorphins. You just feel so good at the end of an exercise session, whether it's, I don't care if it's a 20 minute walk, a 20 minute bike ride, a 20 minute weight session, just do something every single day that is going to make you feel good, maybe get your heart rate up a bit as well. And you're going to set yourself up for a fantastic day and you're going to feel really good about yourself afterwards. So I'm not going to talk about exercise too much because, you know, I think again, it's very personal, but it has definitely been something that I couldn't imagine my life without it. I couldn't imagine not waking up and going for a walk or heading to the gym or, you know, jumping on my bike. Like, I just love it. And I think that I don't know why we have such a negative view on exercise. And that's why I call it movement. I just call it movement. Just move, like move your body. Just, you feel good. You're going to sweat. You're going to get your heart rate up. It feels good. It feels good to be fit. And once you start moving and once you're in the you get into these habits and you start to feel better, you feel more energized, guess what? You're going to want more of it. And look, I also appreciate that, again, going back to what I said at the start about being around family that were fit and healthy. Like, if you're not in the environment, if people around you aren't exercising and aren't moving every day, you know, it's going to be harder for you. But this is why I listen to podcasts. This is why you want to do something for yourself. So don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Move for you. Move because you want to feel better. Move because you deserve to feel good. Move because you love yourself enough to do it. So movement for me is absolutely huge. It's been a huge wellness practice ever since I can remember, ever since I was a little girl. And I cannot imagine my life without sort of doing some form of movements, getting some form of fresh air every single day. Fourth wellness practice is, one that I used to neglect a lot, which is sleep. Again, groundbreaking, George, but the amount of research coming out now about sleep. I mean, again, I won't go into too much about this because I did a whole episode with Dr. Moira, who is a sleep expert. She spent 30 years of her career studying sleep, the benefits of sleep, why we sleep. If you haven't listened to that episode, I highly recommend you go and listen to it, because if you're a bit like, don't think sleep's that important, you will question that after you listen to Dr. Moira. But look, I can't honestly underestimate the power of sleep. And look, when I definitely prioritize sleep, if I reflect back to when I was going through really bad anxiety, sleep wasn't something I prioritized. I would, get back from work and I would, I'd get back quite late because I had a bit of a commute, make dinner. Once I'd finished dinner, put on Netflix and just sit up until probably 10:30, 11 o'clock, and then get up the next day. I had to be up early because I wanted to, get some sort of movement in. But if I was honest, I was probably only sleeping for about 6 to 7 hours a night, which is just not enough. And then when I was stressed, it would really impact my sleep. I'd wake up at 2 a.m. and I'd be thinking about all the things I needed to get done. And it was just, it was not good. So when I started to have a really good sleep routine, a lot of things in my life got a lot better. I woke up and I was, didn't feel sluggish. I felt really refreshed after a good night's sleep. I didn't necessarily need to reach for a coffee first thing. So prioritizing my sleep has been a huge one for me. So what I personally like to do is take the evening routine just as seriously as I take my morning routine. So for example, I'll have the last meal 3 hours before I go to bed, because what science says is that if your body is digesting a big heavy meal, it does impact your sleep. So I like to eat my dinner quite early because I like to go to bed quite early because I like to get up early. So that's what works for me. So I have my meal 3 hours before I go to bed. I will not turn all the lights on in the house. I will just let the house get dark quite naturally, which will make me sleepy. And I also just like to read for 20, 30 minutes before I go to bed, which also makes me sleepy. Now, just want to say this about sleep, because again, I know there's a lot of parents listen to this. There is going to be seasons in your life where it is tough to prioritize sleep. And I think worrying about sleep is just as harmful, if not more harmful, than getting enough sleep. So if you're sat there right now and you're like, God, George, I really struggle to get to sleep, or I really, I'm not a good sleeper, I struggle to stay to sleep. One, go and listen to that episode because it will really help. But two, worrying about it is the worst thing that you can do. So if you are somebody that finds sleep really challenging, then again, I did interview a sleep expert on that. So I'm not the sleep expert, so go and listen to that. But worrying about it is the worst thing that you can do. So go and listen to that episode if you are someone that struggles with sleep. But if you're somebody that just wants to optimize sleep, for me personally, I like to get 8 hours a night. And I can feel it if I haven't had 8 hours a night. So I have set my life up where I can prioritize my sleep. And I have definitely noticed the benefit from doing that. The final wellness strategy that I personally use for me is, and this has actually been a really big one, is just having regular digital detoxes. Now, I think we are a society that has become completely and utterly addicted and reliant on our smartphones. And I feel very grateful that I grew up without a phone, that I grew up without the internet, that I grew up without a computer, right? Like, it wasn't until my teenage years that we had a computer in the house. And I think I was 15 before I had my first mobile phone. And all it was literally a block that you could call and text people on. And I used to love Snake, who used to like Snake, right? 90s babies, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But that was it. I had a Nokia 310. It was like a brick. And, you know, sometimes I was even saying this to one of my friends the other day. I say, if I didn't need, right? Because I do, there's also, which I'm going to go on to, a lot of benefits from it. But if I didn't need the internet and I didn't need the technology to run my business or to record this podcast, I would happily have a Nokia 310, right? Seriously, I've had to put in place some boundaries when it comes to technology, social media, emails, because again, when I was going through that spiral of really bad anxiety, I was like a phone checking social media junkie. I was just constantly like, refresh. Oh, I haven't checked my WhatsApp in 10 minutes. What's going on, right? Like it was constant. And I just think that constant noise, that constant dopamine hit is just so bad for the brain. And, you know, I've had a lot of really interesting people on this podcast. I've been very grateful to speak to a lot of experts on this topic. And they all say the same things. Like it's the biggest experiment ever done on humans in history. We do not know the long-term consequences of smartphones or social media and what that is going to do to society, especially not to young children. That's like some days I honestly, I'm glad I'm not a parent, because I have got so much respect for parents trying to navigate this. Social media, like I was thinking about the other day. So yeah, we're sidetracking here, but this was just me. I was thinking about the other day, like when I was in school, like I did get, you know, as we all do, I got a little bit bullied at certain points. And I was thinking to myself, like there was this girl that had a sleepover and she invited all her friends to the sleepover and she didn't invite me, right? I mean, horrible. Kids can be so mean, right? But anyway, I was thinking, God, if I had Instagram and I was logging on and I saw on her story that they were all there having a great time and I wasn't there, oh my God, the pain, the heartbreak, what I would have gone through watching that would have really, really impacted me. Think about the trauma. Like, honestly, like bullying is bad enough, let alone, you know, seeing it like in your face. Like, I mean, it would have been horrific. So I take my hat off to all the parents out there trying to navigate this, but you need to be strong. You need to stand your ground. I don't think social media should be in the hands of young girls and young men. I really, really don't. I just think it is going to do so much damage to young people's brains. And it certainly would have done me a world of damage. So I don't know how you're going to navigate it. I'm not an expert. Maybe I'll try and get someone on the podcast who is, but it's tricky. It's definitely, definitely tricky, but try and keep your kids off it for as long as you possibly can, because I just don't think it's going to do anyone any favors. You know, those algorithms, the technology companies ran by very, very intelligent people, ran by the best developers in the world. And their only goal is to keep you on the platform as long as possible. So it's tough. But anyway, going back to wellness practice number five, the whole digital detox. So I am very, very strict now with my phone. I'm very strict with my laptop, you know, so we all now work from home a lot. So I have boundaries when it comes to technology. So you will not catch me on my laptop past 7 o'clock. You will not catch me on my emails past 7 o'clock. And I do my absolute best. I'm not perfect at this, but to put my phone down at 7 o'clock, because I also say to myself, what is actually going to happen that I can't deal with in the morning? Like, seriously, like, what's going to happen? What's the worst thing that could happen? And just saying that to myself just makes me go, you can just put your phone down and just relax and just have some boundaries with it. And just doing that every single day has made a huge impact on my mental health. Now, I appreciate a lot of people, you know, they're running businesses, but as am I, and they've got stressful jobs and all the rest of it. And sometimes they need to be on the phone a bit later, but I'd really honestly advise you to challenge that and really, really try and have some boundaries with it. Now, again, life is seasonal. Life isn't black and white. There's going to be phases that you're going to go through where you have to work a bit later, where stuff just needs to get done. And it certainly happens in my life. You know, there might be a really busy period in our recruitment company. And, you know, sometimes there just aren't enough hours in the day. If I've got to make multiple calls and people start calling me back at a certain time, I'm not going to go, oh, sorry, I can't talk to you. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Sometimes I will pick up the call. Sometimes things just need to get done. But it's not like that all the time. And when it's not like that, it's very, very easy for me now to have boundaries with it. The other thing I do is in the morning, as I said at the beginning, I meditate, I exercise, I am thinking about how am I going to set my day up for success? How am I going to make sure that I feel ready and recharged for the day? Which is why you would not catch me looking at my phone before 9 o'clock in the morning, right? Very, very rarely will I be on my email or my phone before 9 a.m. And that is just very, very intentional, because otherwise, if I wake up and check my phone, the whole world is coming in at me, all of my to-do lists, all of my emails, everybody else's problems, the news, everything. And what does that do to my brain, to my motivation? I don't feel good. So that's why the mornings and the evenings, I protect. I have those boundaries. I have that digital detox. And then the other thing I do when it comes to digital detox is when I go away on a weekend. So, you know, as some of you will know, if you follow me on LinkedIn or Instagram, I have a sprinter van that my husband and I converted during the pandemic. We did an amazing trip, all down the East Coast, and I go on regular weekend breaks away in Eddie. He's called our sprinter van. And when I am on the road, staying in campsites, we always try and book a nice campsite that looks out into nature. You better believe that my phone very rarely makes an appearance. I am just there, present, with a book, with my husband, chatting with my dog, Ted. We're going out for walks. We're going to go out for a bike ride. We're going to go out for breakfast, dinners, whatever we're doing that day. My phone does not come with me. And it is liberating. Like, you feel so good when you are not constantly attached to this device. I honestly think it steals so much of our life, so much of our joy. And I know we need it. And I know that, and I'm grateful for it as well, because, you know, I can travel, I can run my business. Like when we were traveling in the van, I could take my laptop, I had access to the internet, I was checking emails, I was still doing work. And I'm so grateful for that. But I also know how important it is to have those boundaries and to have those frequent digital detoxes. So I don't know how long I've been talking for now, but quite a while. But again, these are just all things that I am so passionate about, and they've just made such a big difference in my life. And I know that even if you just do one of these things, you will see benefits. It will help. So let me know what you thought of this episode today. Let me know the one practice that you're going to implement. Leave a comment below. Reach out to me on LinkedIn or Instagram. And if you want to do me one massive favor, something that I would be so grateful for, please subscribe to this podcast, to this channel. It would honestly mean the world to me. It would obviously help this podcast reach many more people. And yeah, I would be very, very grateful. But wherever you are in the world, thank you so much for listening today. I hope you got something from today's episode. I'm absolutely loving these solos. Let me know what you want me to talk about. If there's anything that you took away from today, let me know. And I will speak to you again very soon. Have a phenomenal week ahead. Take care. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thanks so much for doing that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you.